Good morning, everybody.
Oh, that's weak. Good morning.
All right, the message God laid up on my heart and that I want to talk about today is building a wall. And I'm not talking about the wall about the current administration. I won't get into that, but a lot of times we like to build a wall between us and God. Now, God doesn't build a wall. He tears down walls, but he doesn't build walls. But we seem to like to do that. And these, I guess you could say, I got four bricks that we use to build a wall between us and God. See, God is a gentleman. He will not force anything upon us that we don't want. If we don't want his intervention, he won't intervene. If we don't want his blessings, he won't bless us. You know, if we don't want his guidance, we're on our own. Hopefully we all want these things because we're better off with them. But we like to build a wall between us and God, and there's some things that create this. And one of the first ones I want to talk about is traditions. And that's one thing that I really, you know, like about when I first come here is not real big on traditions. Now, some traditions are good. Most old man's traditions just tend to get in the way of God. But I've never been a big fan of traditions, just doing it just for, that's what my mom and papa always did. That's what mom and dad always did. You know, this church has done the same thing for 100 years, and it's going to continue to do the same thing for the next 100 years. You know, it's not about traditions, it's about God. It's about following God. Not just doing things just for the sake of doing things. But in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, it says, "Then some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" How dare they? "And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would have helped you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" So what I have here is they talked about, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? It wasn't the traditions of God or even the traditions of the Bible or, you know, the traditions that God has told us over time. It's traditions of the elders to wash their hands before they eat. Despicable. How could they? So then I like what Jesus said here is like, you talk about traditions, your man's traditions, when it's your own traditions that break the word of God. And he goes into it and say, you know, it says to honor your mother and father, but, you know, the Pharisees had a tradition. I said, well, whatever I had that would help you, I give to God. And they use that as an excuse. And as Jesus said here, that breaks the word of God. And this creates a wall between us and God, our traditions, man's traditions, that doesn't mean anything. But people like to think that they do. And these traditions of men create a disconnect between us and God because we're so focused on our traditions. We're so focused on the way things have always been done. You know, just because something has always been done wrong and it's now a tradition, doesn't mean you still continue to do it wrong. You know, if you find the right way to do things and you think, well, hey, all these years I've been doing it wrong. You know, logic tells you to try something different, do something different. And that's the same way between us and God. Is God is trying to lead us, God is trying to guide us, but when we start putting this wall between us and God with our traditions, we hinder that because, like I said, God's a gentleman. You know, if we're like, God, I got this. I've been doing it the same way for 20 years. I got it. You know, it creates that wall. And it disconnects us between what God really wants, even to the point of these Pharisees here. You know, they were so wrapped up in their tradition that they invalidated the very word of God to keep their tradition. I've seen that happen. You know, sometimes traditions can become so important to a church or the people that it's more important to them than the actual truth or actually following what God wants them to do. You know, I've seen recently just churches that are dying because they're so wrapped up in traditions. Been to churches before where, you know, we were just doing things a little bit different, you know, and we were, they had some chairs up here for the deacons that never sat there. They were just empty chairs. So we was going to change the stage, and we brought down the chairs, and, you know, they had a big giant podium. We changed the podium, and that was the worst thing you could have done. Just the same as not washing your hands before you eat. That's the worst thing you could have done. How dare you? Those chairs have been up there for 60 years. And I'm like, and nobody sit in them for 60 years. You know, it's they get wrapped up in traditions. That's unimportant. You know, we're trying to change things to make, you know, the more engaging to the people, you know, to engage them in the praise and worship, to try to change things up, not change the word, definitely not change the word of God, not change who God is. We don't have the power to do that. But change things in order to engage the people. You know, I mean, it's, and this is just my personal opinion, that if you have a church and, you know, God forgive me if I'm wrong in saying this, but if you have a church and you have had three people saved in 10 years, something's got to change. Just because of tradition, you've been doing the same thing. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe you're doing the wrong thing for 50 years. I don't know. But you can't get wrapped up in the traditions of men and forsake the things that God wants you to do. You have to follow God. You have to do what He wants you to do. See, God never changes, but man does. And that's what we have to understand. We can't change the word. We can't change God. But sometimes we have to change our approach. You know, when Paul said he became all things to all men so that he may win some. He knew that. He knew everybody's different. Everybody changes. And we can't let traditions become more important than the word of God and the actual will of God and what God wants. God wants to see people saved. God wants to see people come to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. And if there's any tradition that gets in the way of that, then it's wrong. And we can't get hung up on that. It will build a wall between us and God and the work that God is trying to do. We can't let that happen. We can't let traditions get in the way. And more importantly, we shouldn't just do things out of tradition just because that's what we've always did. Lest we forget the true meaning. And I'm talking about worship, prayer, communion, all these things. If we participate in them just because that's what we've always done, we're losing the true meaning to that. And once again, we're building a wall between us and God because that disconnect. You know, when we're doing communion, you know, just because we've always done it, then we forget that true meaning. You know, when we stand up and, you know, and we're in praise and worship just because that's what we've always done, because it's tradition, then we're forgetting the true meaning. And we don't understand, we're creating that disconnect between us and God. When we stand in praise and worship, we have to think. And I'll admit, I've done it. I've stood and, you know, sang, and just because that's what we've always done. And didn't really think at the moment, why? You know? But when we stand and we're in praise, and it's time for praise and worship, we need to think about who we're worshiping. We need to think about who we're praising. We need to think about who we serve. Not just do it because we've always done it, but do it because we want to. Do it because we want to praise God. Do it because we want to lift Him up. You know, when we go into prayer, you know, and a lot of times, you know, when we pray every day, you know, and that's something that really hit home to me is, you know, when the kids are going to school and I get up every morning and pray for them, and it becomes monotonous. And it becomes monotonous because it becomes tradition. And it becomes monotonous because we forget the true purpose of prayer. Because we've let that tradition build that wall between the true meaning of prayer and tradition. And even communion. When people just, you know, we have communion, you know, some churches have it every day. You know, and I'm not saying that detracts from it, but I think that can easily detract from the true meaning of communion. And even foot washing and those things, we don't need to do them just because of tradition. We need to do them because we want to. We need to do them, as, you know, as Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, remembering of what he did. We can't let these things build that wall between us and God and disconnect us from him and the spirit that he wants us to feel. And next one is stubbornness. Any stubborn people in here? I'll raise both my hands. If I could, I'd raise my feet. You know, Charlie might say that I am stubborn. I have been known to be stubborn. But when you're always right, I mean, it just, no, I'm kidding. But we can be a stubborn people as a whole and individually. We can be stubborn. Psalms 32:9 says, "Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you." So one thing we have to ask ourselves is, why do we always think we're right, even to the point of our detriment? Why must we always be right? You know, I've said that to myself. I'll never say it to anybody else. Why must I always think that I'm right? You know, and it really gets me, especially, you know, as the more and more that you study God's word and more he opens it up to you, you know, it's easy to admit that, you know, you're wrong about some things. Sometimes you're going to be wrong, but our stubbornness won't allow us to say that. Our stubbornness won't allow it. We must always think that we're right, often to the point of our detriment, to the point that it tears us down, you know, as the horse and the mule, which have no understanding. And stubbornness, man, those are some big bricks that build that wall between us and God. Let's be honest. Has there ever been a time that we have been mad at God or a situation, and thanks to that stubbornness, we act kind of like a fool as if we're punishing God? I've been there, I'll admit it. You know, years ago, when something would go wrong during that day, or I'd had a really bad day or whatever, and I'm just mad, and I'm like, okay, God, this has been a horrible day. This has went wrong, that's what wrong. I'm going to show you I'm not going to church tonight. And our stubbornness gets in the way, like we're hurting God. We're hurting ourselves. You know, or God, you know, you're not answering my prayers the way I want it. I'm going to do it this way anyway. You know, you're leading me this direction. My stubbornness says to go this direction. So guess which direction I'm going to go? I'm going to go the wrong direction. My stubbornness is telling me to go. But we always think we're right, to our detriment. And we're not punishing God, we're punishing ourselves. Our stubbornness is punishing us. You know, think about that mule. I have seen this time and time again. I've seen a mule be standing out in the rain or during a storm, and you'll have the farmer that's trying to get the mule into the barn where it's safer, and the mule will not budge. I'm not moving. I don't care if I get struck by lightning, I'm not moving. My feet are planted, I'm not moving. How many times have we said that? God's trying to get us into the barn. God's trying to get us out of trouble. And our feet are planted. I'm not moving. Then we proverbially get struck by lightning. We're like, oh, God, what happened? God's like, I tried to get you to safety and you wouldn't listen. That stubbornness got in the way. That stubbornness built that wall between me and you. Because, what did I say? God is a gentleman. If you want to stand out in a thunderstorm and get struck by lightning, he'll let you do it. If you'll want to listen to him and get to the safety of the barn, then he'll lead you right there. It's all our stubbornness gets in the way and builds that wall between us and God. You know, and it sounds familiar. I'll admit it. I've been stubborn with God before. You know, like we're going to you know, overpower him or have, you know, I'm going to be more stubborn, that's going to overpower God, and that's not going to happen. We can't let these things separate us, well, disconnect us from God and build that wall between us. And the next one is man's knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20 says, let no man deceive himself. And I think, Lord, how many times did I deceive myself? If any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise that they are useless. And it's that one that if any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, thinks. There is, to me, there is almost no worse thing than in the middle of an argument realizing you're wrong. When if you're in a debate or you're arguing and about 10 minutes in, you realize, I'm wrong. But I'm not going to say that I am. Because why? Stubbornness. And that happens with God too. How many times have we been trying to fight against God or do something that we know and we're like, oh man, I'm wrong. You know, God's word was right this whole time or God was right this whole time. But yet we don't want to admit that. We know it's hard to admit that you're wrong, even to God. You know, so we let that stubbornness go in. And but it's man's knowledge, you know, if any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, he must become foolish. Now, I'm not saying man's knowledge or book learning, as people put it, is wrong or useless, but it just can't compare to the knowledge and wisdom of God and about God. There's just no comparison. You know, I've always been about knowledge. You know, I love knowledge. I've always been about science and things like that. But when you put them in circumspect with God, they just don't compare. There's just no comparison there. And even to some point, you have to be careful that man's knowledge don't build that wall between you and God. And there was a time that that happened to me. You know, like I said, I've always been about the sciences. I've always been about reasoning and logic. And a lot of times, God isn't logical to the human mind. I mean, he's logical to himself. He has to be. But to us, things aren't always logical. And that happened to me, and that goes to here at this time, as Paul's talking about here, philosophy was real big. I mean, like rock stars today get on stage. That's what happened then. These philosophers would get, and people all around them just listen to them expound their wisdom. All right, go back to where it says, if any man among you thinks he is wise in his age. So, but if you go to Acts 17, Paul addresses the many Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, and here he tells them to renounce all that worldly wisdom, the humanism, man-centered philosophy, even if it means being called a fool. Because we can't let man's knowledge, man's traditions, man's stubborn, build that wall between us and God. Because God has evaluated the wisdom of this world, and he considers it foolishness, craftiness, and futile. I mean, I can only imagine that some of the brightest minds in the world come up with these things. And a lot of times to disprove God, you know, come up with the Big Bang Theory to try to disprove God, and evolution try to disprove God, and these things disprove God. And while these same things can exist, you know, their reasoning is to disprove God. I can only imagine God sitting on his throne thinking, that's cute. All the knowledge that man thinks he has, that's cute. To God, it's futile. And when we think about man's knowledge versus the knowledge of God, there's just no comparison. And the last one is the biggest brick of all that will build a wall between us and God. Doubt. When we have doubt that God can do things, In Genesis 18:11 through 14, it says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' And the Lord said unto Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and this time next year, Sarah will have a son.'" And it's doubt. And like you said, what does that lead to? Sin. We doubt God. We doubt God's power. And when we do that, not only does it lead us to sin, but when we're doubting God, we're building a huge wall between us and God. Because doubt in itself is one of the biggest sins that there are. Doubt of some kind will happen in our lives. It will. We will be faced with doubt. It'll happen to everybody. You know, if we removed from the Bible every person who doubted God at some time or at some degree, it would be a very short book. And these are people God has spoke about in His Word. We're going to have doubts. God knows that. He understands that. But what we have to understand is what we do with that doubt. Aside from our stubbornness, and we allow God to do with that doubt. We will all come across statements or questions that challenge our beliefs and our faith. These are a critical part of our spiritual growth that should drive us to search for answers in God through His Word and meditation. It's always been my personal opinion that someone who doesn't have questions or someone who doesn't search for answers to those questions is very quickly and dangerously going to become weak and stagnant in their faith. God knows we're going to have doubts. God knows we're going to come across questions that challenge our beliefs. But we have to readily search for those answers. Seek God. Seek in His Word. Seek in meditation so that we can find those answers that will erase that doubt. Because Sarah had a big doubt that she could be pregnant because she was well past her years. But God said, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" You know, doubt will destroy faith. But what seems impossible to us is merely just a passing thought to the Creator of the universe. And it's always seemed funny to me that we doubt God can do something when He created the entire universe. How can we doubt? How can we think that any problem we face is too hard for God to handle? That's an impossibility. We're talking about the Creator of the universe who created everything with just the spoken word. He spoke it and it came into existence. But we let our doubts build a wall between us and God, saying, "God, I just don't know. I don't know if You can. I don't know if it's possible. It's just impossible." And to our mind, it seems impossible. But to God, He's like, "I got it. I got this." But in all these things, man's traditions, our stubbornness, man's knowledge, and doubt, sin, we just keep stacking these bricks up and creating a disconnect between us and God. And God doesn't want a disconnect between us. He sent His Son to die so that there wouldn't be a disconnect between Him and us. But we build that wall ourselves. And we have to watch what we do. We don't have to worry about traditions. We have to take care of our stubbornness. We can't let man's knowledge overpower God's knowledge. And we have to stop the doubt and get that full connection to God. Well, that's all I have this morning. If Kaylin will come up and get us a song, and I just want to invite y'all to come up here. If y'all are thinking about getting in the construction business, I'd ask you to come up here and get help not to build that wall between you and God. If you're starting, if you had already started to build your wall, you can get it tore down. Maybe you just got your bricks on order. God is there and he wants a connection to us. And we don't need to sever that connection. We need to want more and more of that connection. So as he plays this song, I'd invite you to come up here and talk things over with God if you need to.